to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're talking about our redemption, the fact that you and I are redeemed. And when we began this, we're seeing where we came from, what we've been redeemed to, and who redeemed us, and how He did it. Psalm 130 verse 7 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. Abundant redemption. That's what you and I have. Job, in the midst of his sufferings, he said in Job 19, he said, my Redeemer lives. And that is someone who can take me out, someone who can help me. My Redeemer is alive, and I'm looking to Him. Now, we saw that just like the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt and they were in bondage and they were in suffering, that God took them out and there was a redemption, and they would celebrate it every year in the Passover. And that because of the blood that was applied to their house, that the judgment of God passed over them. And so they were redeemed out of that land of sin and suffering. And God took them to the promised land that He had told them about, that He had given to a promise to Abraham. Now, you and I were not redeemed by Moses. We were not redeemed by the blood of a physical lamb. But 1 Peter 1, 18 says that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so of everything that God could have used, He used the blood of His own Son. Tell your neighbor, you are expensive. That was our cost. That is what God gave up. Part of the word of redemption means to buy back, that there was a sacrifice made in order to obtain something. And so we are God's twice. He made us, He formed us, He gave us life, and then He redeemed us, He bought us back from the hand of the enemy. And thank God we've seen that when He did that, He didn't do it halfway. Jesus didn't do it partially and leave the rest to the pastor or the traveling evangelist or the TV preacher, that somehow you're going to be further redeemed later by some other way. No, no, no. The Bible tells us in Colossians that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, and we have been taken into the kingdom of the Son of His love, Jesus Christ. Amen? We have left somewhere, and we are now somewhere else. And all of the devil's hold on our life is 100% and completely broken. Amen? He has no right in your life. And last week we saw in Galatians 3 that we are redeemed from the curse of the law, the curse of not being good enough, and all of those proclamations that were said over the guilty in Deuteronomy 28, the curse of being separated from God, the curse of having your body ravaged with sickness and disease, the curse of lack, of not having enough to live in this life, the curse of fear, all of that curse has been removed. It has been broken in Jesus' name, because of His blood, and we are redeemed. So in Galatians chapter 3, if you're there, in verse 13, and we saw this last week, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. We could not redeem ourselves. We could not change our situation. And I know mankind has a lot of self-help programs, but unless that self-help happens after the cross and after God has helped you, there is no self-help other than what Jesus can do for us. Amen? So He has redeemed us. Now, so we've come from under that bondage, but we have been redeemed to something, for something. There is a new life that awaits us. And later in this chapter, in Galatians 3, today we're going to see, what is that? How does God describe that? What does that look like for us? What place do we have in our redemption? Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Let me encourage you. bring your Bible to church. Amen. Bring your Bible. We've got a place on our in our bulletin where you can take notes. All right. Or bring your own notebook and just expect God to talk to you. Amen. All right. And if I don't see all of your eyes, all of the sermon, it's okay. If you read, if you're looking at the Bible, if you're taking notes. Amen. Because God speaks to us. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And then we're going to read this. I'll just go ahead and read the whole passage. Verse 28, it says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 4:1, it carries on in this same thought. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now, in that passage, do you see how many times God says, "You are a son, you are an heir, you are a child of God"? Isn't it? I think God understood that repetition helps us to learn. That sometimes we don't get it in verse 26, so he says it in verse 28, and then in verse 5, and then 6, and then 7 again. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are a child of God." You see, you and I, because God is our Father, all right? Not that he kind of is our Father, but he is our Father. Because God is our Father, you and I are the children of God. The New Living Translation in verse 7, it says, "Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you." Everything that he has belongs to you. Now that's a really important part of this whole makeup, that we are the children of God. Now, Romans 8:16 says this, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." New Living Translation puts it this way: "His Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children." The Message Bible puts it this way: "God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. For we know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children." Now, in this life, you and I are going to be given a lot of names of what people call us. All right? Some are good, some are truthful, some maybe cannot be repeated in church. Have you ever been called one of those names? All right. But we go by a number of different things. And you may be a single person. And then you graduate from Merge and you become part of the married group. The married world, right? And you become a husband. You become a wife. You have children and people call you father, mother. That's one of my favorite titles in the whole world, just so you know, all right? Not that you have to call me father, all right? I'm fine with pastor, okay? And then maybe you get a job, maybe you get a title, maybe a certain level of education gives you a certain title. But see, all of these things, those things can kind of come and go in life, right? Because some people are married and then a spouse passes away. And they're no longer a wife. Then the world would say, well, you're a widow. And so a lot of people kind of have identity crises. But what God is telling us, when we are born again and the Spirit of God comes into our heart, we discover who we really are, Who are we really? We are really a child of God. And you see, all of those other titles, all of those other things that we may do in life and we may not do in life, all of those other things are less than being a child of God. Now, this is one of the great, and I think one of the most important truths of the whole New Testament, is that God is our Father and we are His children. That was not something that God described in the Old Testament. God was referred to as Father only 5 times in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's Father everywhere. Jesus says, when you pray, say this, say, our Father. Now, is He still Jehovah? Sure. Is He still Elohim? Absolutely. He is all of those things. He just so happens to be your Father. I don't know how many of you, if you felt like maybe your father was important, your natural father, or maybe he wasn't important, but maybe your natural father, imagine if he was just an incredibly wealthy person, an incredibly important person, and had all these titles, and everybody really looked up to them, but he is all of that, but he just happens to be your dad. And that means your relationship is completely different than the 3,000 employees that he has, or all the people that come to see him. He's your dad. I don't know if you remember, long, long time ago, there was a beautiful picture that was taken when John F. Kennedy was the president of the United States. And he was there in the Oval Office, and there the desk that's been there for all these years, but it kind of has an opening there. And there he is with this important person and this important person, and I'm sure everything on that desk is important, right? I mean, everything that he has to sign. These are world matters. There are bombs going off. There are all these things. But his son, John, 3 years old, is playing at his father's feet. Now, why is he there? He doesn't know what's happening on top of that desk. He's just hanging out with his dad. And he has a right to be there because his dad just so happens to be the president. Amen? And here's the thing. John F. Kennedy didn't serve that long, and whoever you are, you don't serve forever. Our God is the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords. He serves forever, but He invites us and tells us, you are my child. Now, what I want you to understand, what the Bible says, that He really is your Father. Now, how many of you have ever been introduced to someone, and someone says, oh, I want you to meet my brother Joe. And you say, oh, hi, Joe. And you turn to your friend and say, I thought you only had 2 brothers. Oh, well, you know, he's like my brother. He's kind of like my brother. He's as if he were like a pseudo brother. We all know that, right? Well, here, I want you to meet my auntie. Well, in what way? Well, she's like my auntie. God is not like that. He's not kind of like your father. He really, really is your father. It was His seed that made you born again, born from above, born by the Spirit of God. You have His nature. You look like Him. You have His eyes and His ears and His mouth. Amen. And I always find it so funny, and I know a lot of people do, and they say, oh, Pastor, your son Timothy looks just like you. Hallelujah. Who else is he supposed to look like? He really is my son. But see, you really are the son and the daughter of Jehovah God, the maker of heaven and earth. The one who reigns on high is your father, and he invites you to call him Father. Amen. Because that is who you are. You are a son, a daughter of God. Now, what does that relationship look like? What does it mean to be a child of God? Go back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And again, one of the things that we see, Romans 8:29 tells us this. Don't turn there. I'll just read it quickly. That Jesus, that we are conformed to the image of Jesus, and that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Who are the brethren? Who are the sisterin? That's us. Amen? So we are in the family of God. Jesus is our elder brother. Now, we saw last week that when we were raised together with Christ, we are seated with Christ. We have a place and a position with Him, not under Him, with Him, at the right hand of our Father God. That's where Jesus has put Him. And the Bible says that we are baptized into Christ. Now, isn't it interesting that when Jesus was baptized, He didn't ask John the Baptist for special water? You know, everybody else was getting baptized in the River Jordan, but Jesus said, you know, I'm the Son of God and everything. I think I deserve the VIP baptismal. No, we're baptized into the same water. When we had baptism, it was 2 weeks ago, Pastor William. Amen. We didn't have two tanks, right? For just the normal people and then the special people. Huh? Right? And sure, there are people on the earth that do some really amazing things and important things, and they may have titles and positions, but all of us are baptized into the same water. Amen? You remember when President Wanawasa was baptized by the Baptist a few years ago? Remember that? It wasn't in a gold-plated baptismal tank. For we are all baptized into Christ. So what happens to you and I? We are all raised together with Christ, and though on the earth we have different functions, all right? And, you know, the Bible says in Christ there's neither male nor female. But here on the earth we do have different functions, do we? Don't we? I mean, men don't give birth to children. Amen? God gave that job to the tough part of our species, the females. I'm telling you, I was there for both of our children's birth, amen? And I'm supporting my wife, but what I'm thinking really in my mind is, oh God, thank God it is you on that, and it is not me. Praise God. We have different functions here on the earth, right? We have different roles based on how God made us. Maybe our gender. Maybe our giftings, our anointings. Not all are the same. But we are same in our function or the way God uses us. But we are the same in the family. In the family, we have an equal place. We have an equal place in the family. Galatians 3:28. From the New Living Translation says, for you are all Christians. And whether you're a pastor or a soon-to-be pastor or a used-to-be pastor or a director or a retired director or a whatever that word is, or there's no word, we are all Christians. The Message Bible puts it this way. Listen, in Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free. Male and female. Among us, you are all equal. That is, we are in a common relationship with Christ. We are equal in who we are. Now, not in function, not in responsibility, all right? But what that means is that if you and I, as the body, if we see ourselves basically as high as we're ever going to get, then that means if God chooses to use us and give us a position based on responsibility and based on gifting, then that means we don't have to intimidate other people. Come on, stay down. Because the anointing goes to the head and then falls onto the body. Well, see, here's the thing. I'm not the head. Jesus is the head. The anointing's on Jesus and it flows to the body. Amen? So we don't have to push ourselves in front of another, or on the other hand, we don't have to be intimidated if someone has been given a responsibility more than us. We can respect the authority and the position, but don't feel that we're our inferior or that we're, what's wrong with me? Well, nothing's wrong with you. God has just chosen to use them, and maybe there's another path for you. Maybe it's just not time for you yet, or maybe God hasn't been able to give you a position because He's looking for faithfulness. That's another. But our function may be different, but as children of God, we're equal. There's not above or below. There's not a pecking order in the body of Christ. Amen. We're all seated with Christ. Now, let's keep reading because it just keeps getting better and better. Galatians 3:29, it says, now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And now all of the promises of God that he gave to him belong to you. The promises of God belong to you. Now, in Galatians 4:7, it says it in another way. It says, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. Everything that he has belongs to you. Notice that it seems like there's almost like a possession, a right standing. There's a legality that it belongs to. Your cell phone belongs to you, right? And if somebody tries to take it from you, you try to get it back, don't you? You stop them. Pardon me, excuse me, that's mine, right? I remember one time I was at a soccer match in South Africa, and it was packed out, 100,000 people. And I was waiting in line to get a Coca-Cola, and I felt somebody trying to get my wallet. And so I turned around and said, and it was this older man. I said, excuse me, sir, get your hand off my wallet, you know? And he didn't take his hand off my wallet. He just looked, he kept his hand on my wallet, and he went like this, you know, like I won't notice or something. But that's mine. That's not yours. It's mine. So stop it, you know, and we'll use words. And if we need to escalate this a little farther, then we'll go there, okay? But this belongs to me. So we know what belongs to us, right? It's ours. And if it's somebody else's, then it doesn't belong to us. And so, you know, we've got plot lines and we've got fences. This is mine and that's yours. Well, everything, because you're a son of God, because you're a daughter of God, because you are an heir with Christ, everything that God has belongs to you. It's yours. Now, how many of you would think, if we really believe that, would that change the way we pray? Would that change the way we pray? Now, Jesus said, your Father knows that you need these things down on the earth. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need a house. He knows you need a job, just like the physical stuff of life. Oh, God, 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 give me a job. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. Oh, God, favor, favor, give me favor, 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 favor. Oh, favor, favor, favor. No, it belongs to you. Just walk up, open the fridge, and choose Coke, Fanta, or Sprite. Why? Because it's there. See, when it was bought for you. It was purchased for you. I've told you this many times, but you know, living away from my mom and dad for my whole adult life, living in Africa, whenever I would visit them. Oh, I tell you, every day was Christmas. And my father and my mother, we have the sixth love language of food. And so when I would get home, I mean, it was food, it was food, it was glory, it was blessing. And I'm so glad that there's food in heaven. Amen. No marriage, but there is food. Hallelujah. And so my dad would say, okay, Walker, I've got this, I've got that and everything. And so here's the thing. If I'm going to be with him for 4 days and I don't eat it, whose fault is it? His or mine? He bought it because he loves me, because he can, and it is there for me. Well, I just don't want to get in pride, Dad. I just feel that if I ate too much of that, then I would just, you know, I want to stay humble. Well, no, stay humble and eat the food. Because it's there for you. It's there for your enjoyment. It's there for your life. And so when God made all of the promises in the Bible, he made them because he knew you were going to need them. Amen. So walk up as a child, not as an employee, not as someone begging or scraping or making a deal with God. God, if you give me a new job, I'll dedicate my firstborn to you. God, if you let me get married, oh, I'll dedicate all of the borns to you. No, 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 no. Amen. Amen. The Bible says no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, our righteousness now is of Jesus. Amen. So the promises of God belong to us. It is the Father's will. We don't beg and plead. We access by faith what belongs to us. Amen. Do you see the different perspective? Amen. And if you remember in Luke 15, one of the tragedies of the prodigal son's story was when the older brother was so upset about the party. Boy, you know you have to be bound when you're upset about a party that's at your own house and your whole family's there and you're just mad working in the fields. Man. Anyway, picture of religion without Jesus. But so the father pleads and goes out to him and he said, you never gave me this. You never gave me that. And he said, son, all that I have belongs to you. Amen. Just call up the DJ. Kill the cow. Amen. Start it up. Get this party started. It's up to you. And he's blaming his father. But he was the one who was going without because he didn't access what belonged to him. Now, another thing we see in this passage is that we are adopted as children and we are not treated as slaves. We are not treated as domestic workers. We are not treated as God's employees. Now, do we do some stuff with God? Yes, I think there's a whole section of the Bible about that, right? But God doesn't bring us in for what he can get out of us, but he brings us in to be his children. Amen. And it's a whole different basis. Now, Paul gives a metaphor of in Galatians 4, 1 through 3 that we read that what would happen is when someone was underage, when they were a small child, the inheritance may have belonged to them, but because they were not responsible, because they were small children, they were not able to access the inheritance. And so really, they were just like a domestic worker in the home. They didn't have access to everything that was the father's because of their age. And Paul said that when we were under the law, that's what it was like. We were under the regulations of the law because we couldn't handle it. We weren't ready for it. But now that God has made us his sons, we are no longer workers. We are no longer slaves, but we are heirs. We are mature sons and daughters that God can trust, that God can delegate to, that God knows that we can be responsible with his stuff. Do you see that? So it's not a matter of just having crisps and Coke and enjoying life, but it's working with God and his power and his anointing and his life and his love that we become partners with God's business here on the earth. Father and Sons Incorporated. Amen? Hebrews says that Jesus, as our high priest, he brought many sons to glory. To be glorified with him. And the glory that's on Jesus is on his church. We were singing that song today. The whole earth is full of his glory. If you've been to Vic Falls, you know that it's full of his glory. Amen. When you see all that God has done. And as much as the earth is filled with his glory, his greatest desire is that his church be full of his glory. And thank God that Vic Falls represents the Father and shows us what he's like. But he wants you to shine. He wants you to display what he's like here on the earth. Amen. And not just in singing a song, but his glory on your life and what he looks like. Amen. So God doesn't treat us as a minor. He treats us as a son. Amen. And he speaks to us. Hebrews 12 says that he speaks to us as sons. And one of the greatest parts of our birthright is that God is involved in our life in the area of correction and training. Hebrews 12 says that if he didn't correct you and train you, then you'd be illegitimate. You really wouldn't be a son. But because we're sons, that means he's going to get involved in our life. That means he's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, what was that? What are you thinking?
Amen?
Well, I just want him to bless me. Oh, that is blessing. Whom the Father loves, he corrects. The love of God is shown when he corrects you. Just as much as when he heals your body. Just as much when he gives you a breakthrough financially. The love of God is manifested when he says, hey, you see that? Here's my word. That needs to change. You need to come up higher. And I'm involved in your life. I'm not negligent. I'm not far away. I'm right there with you. And I'm training you up as a child. Isn't it great to be a son? Isn't it great to be a daughter of God? Amen? Now, lastly, we have a relationship with God through the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit of God. Now, I realize that when we talk about God being a father, and so God is a father, and that's what he said he is. All of us, if we are alive today, we had or have a physical father. You have to have one to be born into this world, right? And I realize that in a group of people like this, that there's a wide variety of natural fathers that are represented when we talk about your physical dad, the father that gave birth to you. Some of you that are here today, you never met your father. He was there for your conception, but he wasn't there to raise you. Maybe he left. Maybe he died. Maybe you had a father who was alive, and maybe he was physically there in the home, but really there were other things that took him away. Maybe his job. Maybe the bottle, maybe anger, maybe some form of ungodliness took him away from you and he was disengaged. Maybe you had a father who he was there, but and he was involved in your life. But when you look at how God is and his attributes and you look at your father's attributes, they're very different. You had a harsh father, maybe a cruel father, a father that didn't care. A father that was selfish. And I realize that then there might be a certain segment here that you did have a good dad. And he was there and he loved you the best that he could. And he was involved in your life. And he told you that he loved you. And he acted that he loved you. And thank God if that was the case for you. But when we begin to talk about God as a father, sometimes we put God through the filter of our natural father. And what I want to invite you to do today is to get a bypass. And thank God for your natural father, the good and the bad. And again, how it might have been a lot of good and a little bad, and it may have been a lot of bad and a little good. But here's what we see about our Father God in heaven. James says this, that our Father, the Father of lights, that when he gives, it's only good. In him there is no darkness at all. There's no shadow of turning. He's not one way today and another way tomorrow. And we have to renew our mind to the fact that we have a good Father, that we have a perfect Father. And he invites us into a wonderful relationship with himself. And it may be a little bit like your natural dad, but it's going to be a whole lot different than your natural dad. Because he's perfect and he's wonderful. And as much as I'm trying to be the best dad I can possibly be to my kids, God the Father is a better father than I am. He's a more perfect father than I am. He's never ever made a mistake. And he wants to be that to you. Galatians 4 verse 6. Let me read this to you from the Message Bible. It says, "You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children, because God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, 'Papa, Father.'" The Aramaic word that's used there is Abba, Father. And it's an interesting combination of two words. Abba was the word that little tiny babies would use to call their father. Maybe it was in your home, it might have been dada or daddy or tata. Amen? What? Poppy? Papa. Papa. Whatever that word was, it's what a small little child calls their father. And a small little child, father can do everything. Father is big. Father is huge. When we lived in Randburg, I was away on ministry and our TV got disassembled and all the stations were messed up and my wife is trying to fix it and she had never done that and she's trying to figure out how to get the stations back and everything. And my little girl Jessica is 3 years old. She comes and puts her hand on my wife's shoulder and says, "Mom, it's okay. Only daddy knows how to do that." You see, at 3 years old, she believes daddy can do everything. Now she's 15 and she's discovered there's one or two things that daddy can't do. But there's an innocence. There's a sweetness. There's a closeness. And it is so wonderful. But the word, it says Abba, but then the other word is father. And the word father there is a what a mature son calls his father. This is not a baby. This is a fully grown person who knows who their father is, who has a relationship that's based on knowledge and trust. And so the relationship that God brings us into is both. That we can cry out, Abba, Papa, Tata. Because we know that he's big and we know that he can do anything. But there's also maturity that he knows us and that we know him. And there's a high degree of relationship because at the end of the day, you just can't build a house together with a small baby. But you see, God brings us up as his sons and then he trusts us with the family business. He trusts us with everything that concerns him of what he wants to do on the earth. Then now we become joint heirs with Christ. Not way down here, lifted together with him. For him to take care of us, for him to guide us, for him to protect us, for him to do all these wonderful things, but also for him to trust us. And so that when Jesus was on the earth and he said, Father, he said, I pray this for my disciples and for those who will be disciples. So Jesus made a prayer for you that's still in effect today. And in that prayer was this, Father, that they would know that you love them as much as you love me. God the Father loves you, his daughter, with the same love that he loves his son, Jesus Christ. How is that possible? Because you're in the family. You're in the family. And a father is able to love all the children with the same love. Jesus brought us into the family. Amen. But he raised us up together with him. We have been made sons and daughters of God with all of the privileges, with all of the benefits of relationship, of love, of correction, of provision. And he redeemed us to be children. Don't come back as a worker. Don't come back as a domestic or as a slave of God. Come back as his child. Yes, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, but we have been brought back as his very own children. Amen. And I don't know how to describe this, but when you really, really, really understand this, everything changes. Everything changes. The way you live, the way you act, the way you handle your finances, the way you think about the future. God is my Father. You stop playing religious games with God. You stop brokering with God. And you live the life of a son and as a daughter. And you let him grow you up. And you let him mature you. And you stay connected to everything that he has for your life. Amen? And don't let religion, don't let the enemy, don't let anyone try to bring you down from that place. Now maybe you're male, female, Jew or Greek, an owner or an employee. There's different things that we do in the earth. But that's not who you really are. Who you really are is a child of God, raised with Christ. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus, not to make us religious, not to make us live right, but to bring us into your family. And once we're in the family, then everything changes. You can help us, you can shape us, you can correct us, you can provide for us, you can trust us. Everything's different. And Father, I pray, Lord, for every Christian that's here. And Father, when Jesus was here, he gave that parable of the prodigal son. Lord, we see that there are sometimes two different groups of people. Father, they're sons that don't act like sons because of shame of sin and shame of their past and all of the wrong things that they've done. And they don't act like a son. But Father, then there's another group that they don't act like a son because they're so religious. And they're so full of themselves. And they're so self-conscious and self-righteous. And they end up not acting like a son and enjoying the benefits of being a son because they think they're a worker. Father, if there's any people in any of those groups today, Father, Lord, may we step out of our past. May we step out of our shame. May we step out of the pigs and live with you in the house. And Father, if there are any sons or daughters here that are so busy trying to make you happy, but Father, you're already happy. They're your children. And they get to come and be in the house with you. And yes, Father, we have a job to do. Yes, we have responsibility. But Father, it's as a child. It's as a son. It's as a daughter. Father, that everything that you're going to give us is because of who we are, not what we do. It's because of our birthright. Lord, I thank you for that spirit of adoption. Holy Spirit, you are here today. And we thank you that you touch each heart and that you speak to each one. Father, for those that are here today that, Lord, it's been hard to know you as a father because of their natural father. Lord, that there could be forgiveness today, but then for every one of us to realize you're a different type of father. You're perfect. You're the father of lights. You're the good father. The father that never leaves us or forsakes us. The father that never lets us down. The father that's always an example. That always cares. That never leaves us. Father, I thank you for ministering to every heart right now. Every heart right now. For every believer right now, I would encourage you, just talk back to the Lord right now. Just talk to your Father. Whether it's a simple prayer or whether some of these things resonated with your heart today, just talk to Him right now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father. Our Father. Father, I thank you today that, Lord, you never, ever, ever gave up on me. You never did, Father. And Father, even when I couldn't see the end of the tunnel, you saw it. Father, that you equip me and you anoint me and that you help me. Oh, we love you today as your children. Oh, as your children, we thank you that we know who you are and we know who we are. And we will not let anyone talk us out of it. We will be your children. We will be your family. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you're here today with every head bowed, every eye closed, God wants you in His family. If you're not, you can be. And
You don't join the family of God through church membership or water baptism or catechism. You can only be born into His family. And that's why Jesus told a man who read the Bible every day, who memorized more of the Bible than probably any of us in this room will ever do, He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again, born twice, born all over. That's on the inside. So when Jesus came, His death, His burial, His resurrection made that possible. It's now available to you. But we're born again by God through faith, through your faith, through believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you are not in the family of God, or you don't know, or you're a backslidden Christian, today is your day. It's time to be in the family of God. Let Him love you. Let Him take care of you. Let Him grow you up. Let Him be your dad. And if you say, Pastor, I want to be in the family. I know I'm not. Either I've never been born again, or I've left the Father's house. I'm backslidden. It's time to come home. If that's you, raise up your hand right now. Raise up your hand. Say, it's my day. This is my adoption day. I'm going to be in God's family. From the front to the back, from the left to the right. Say, Pastor, I want to pray. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want God to be my Father. Anyone at all? Yes. God bless you. I don't want to miss anybody. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Who else? Yes, there in the back. Anyone else? God loves you. He wants you to be in His family. Yes, God bless you, sir. Anyone else? All right. Can we all stand to our feet as we get ready to go today? If you lifted up your hand, I'd like you to grab your Bible, your belongings, whatever you brought with you. And I want you just to come and meet me up front right now. Just come and meet me up front. God has a good plan for your life, and it all starts right now. So just come. Just come. Step out of that old life. Step into this brand new life. God bless you, young man. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you so much. Wonderful. It's a great day to know Jesus, and that's going to happen today. Would you bow your heads with me and just close your eyes and just lift up one of your hands towards heaven, because we're talking to God today. And say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me and that you have a good plan for me. I believe Jesus is your Son. He died in my place. He was raised from the dead so I could know you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I leave sin in the past. I turn to you now. And I thank you that I follow you and you alone for the rest of my life. Thank you, Father. I'm in your family. I am now your child. And you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.